Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Matt Stinchcomb's going to join us, college football analyst from SEC Media Days, coming up here on the show in approximately 17 minutes from now. But it is a Trash Tuesday. I promised our listeners that have been hanging on for a while, wanting to jump in here on the phones, that we would get right to your trashes on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. If you've got trashes to take out, you can also tweet them at me, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line on a Trash Tuesday, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Dixieland Dan leads us off this hour on a Trash Tuesday on the phones. He's listening at radio.com in Mississippi. What's up, Dixieland Dan?
What's going on, DA? Can your friendly mothership redneck get a beam up?
You got it. So who you trashing?
Well, I got one trashing and I also got a little thing I'm going to touch on after my trash, so don't hang up on me.
Okay.
I want to trash whoever's decision it is to put Gresh in on the every Friday that you've been off here lately and not put Mraz in there. Mraz is a great host a few times that he's hosted, and he's never had the chance to host the show at the 9 to 12 hours, and he deserves his chance to be able to do that. So I don't know who to trash, but trash that person.
Okay, trash management.
And the other thing I want to touch on is this huge freeze Mama Mraz debate.
Yeah.
This is getting out of hand today. We can't have middle-aged women drunk on Heinekens coming in saying, oh, I'm the captain of the mothership now. I'm going to decide who comes on the show, and I'm going to lift the ban. No, we can't do that, DA. I'm in touch with some of the biggest names. Excuse me. I'm in touch with some of the biggest names in the mothership, and we all agree that a ban is a ban. You cannot lift that ban. What is bet on, and what is done is done. You can't do that. But if you do want to lift the ban, here's what we can do. We like the joust idea. Put them in knights armor, put them on the back of a horse, let's do this. Or put them at a table. Put two things in front of them. Put one bag of chips, one bag of Death by Salsa. Whoever can eat the most chips.
You know what?
Let's do it this way, DA. If Huge Freeze wins, you get your five series debate against the guts or whatever you called it, and he gets back on the show. But if Mraz wins, not only is the ban put in place for good, all of his drops should leave the show as well.
Oh, wow. That does up the ante. Wow. That is actually an excellent idea. And by the way,
no, it's not.
I love the idea that there is a coalition of the strongest D-aliens. This is the most important voting block we have on the show. Getting together and discussing the ban of Huge Freeze. I love this idea. Mano a mano, chip for chip, death by salsa. Whoever taps out first loses. And if Mraz loses, Huge Freeze gets the five-episode arc of Pardon the Indigestion, PTI, a debate style show here within the show against Mraz. And if Robbie loses, not only is he banned, but all drops of Robbie are banned forever. Mraz. The stakes are high if we do that. The stakes are high.
Yeah, well, we're not doing that. That's not happening because I've seen what you, Andrew Bogus, and him look like after Death by Salsa, and I'm not having that happen to me to a tenth degree because I'm going to have to beat him. He's already banned. I offered fencing. Fencing was declined. And no.
Well, no, it hasn't been declined yet. It has not been declined. A joust has not been declined.
And second of all, or third of all, I don't even know what I'm up to, fourth of all, fifth of all, bottom line is this, I want his drops because they make making epic fails easier for me. So, I win, and that means what? I'm in the bathroom for two straight days, and I lose those drops? I lose, and now the big galoop's back here on the air? I mean, that makes no sense.
I don't understand even why you're scared of debating him in a debate-style competition or just shows, miniseries called Part of the Indigestion.
I'm not scared of debating him. First of all, I'm more talented than him. I'd be better than him at that. What I am scared of is, you know, people laughing at him, thinking he's the funny guy. There's only room for one bald, fat, funny guy on a show. All right? I mean, that's the way it is. And that's the end of it.
All right, but the joust or the fencing is still on the table.
Right. I mean, Philly's answering questions about spacing on the floor with Embiid and Horford right now, and people are really questioning it. Well, we're going to have to answer those same questions if me and Robbie are on the floor at the same time.
Jonathan is next up in California, listening on Sirius XM Channel 206. Jonathan, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Hey, what's going on, DA? Give me a beam up.
You got it.
All right, so check this out. I went to dinner with the wife the other night at one of these seafood boiler places where they boil the food.
Right.
Then this couple comes in, and they start complaining that they can't get their seafood grilled. Right? So I'm trashing those people that go to these restaurants and demand certain audibles or their food. If you want your food a certain way, go to the place where they grill the seafood. Don't go to a place where they boil it.
Exactly.
Take a lap.
Trash them! You're like, the seafood restaurant's called the boil, and you want it grilled. Yeah, can I get the char grilled? No, we're called the boil. All we do is we boil all of our seafood. So, can we get that like oven baked? No, it's called the boil. Jared's next up. He's in Reno, listening to 94.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Jared, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Yeah, first, it'd be a pleasure to be beamed up for the first time.
You got it, man.
First time caller, too.
What's up?
I'd like to trash, and I feel like Mraz would appreciate this. That you get once you're there, and they charge an exorbitant amount for just being at the resort. I mean, I've already paid for the hotel. Why are you charging me $30 a day for, I assume, crappy Wi-Fi, maybe a DVD that you hand out for an old PlayStation 3? Why are you charging me a resort fee? Get that out. Get them out.
Trash them. Mraz, you have oftentimes done these resort vacations with your wife, Danielle.
Yeah, and a lot of them end up sucking into that resort fee. And I think this is kind of like we've talked about those airlines that all of a sudden you get there and you're where all these charges come from? They shoo you in on whatever website for the lower price, and all of a sudden your credit card has $40 worth of charges every day for a resort fee. Why? Because you're giving me a beach towel? That's part of the resort.
It is amazing when you fly some of these discount airlines. And then you're like, oh, Spirit Airlines, great. My flight is like $180. And then you get there, they're like, well, would you like oxygen in the cabin? Like, yeah, I think I need that. Okay, that's $25. There's a $25 oxygen fee? Yep. Did you want a clean bathroom or did you not mind if there's toilet paper all over the place? I guess I want a clean one. That's $50. There's a $50 clean bathroom fee? And would you like your pilot to actually have an updated license or can it be expired? I guess updated. Okay, that's $120. You're like, suddenly? Oh, and you're not allowed to have bags. I can't have a bag on. No, no bags. Well, there's a $50 bag fee. But there's a $50. Any bag? A carry-on? Yeah. And how many wheels does your bag have? Four? Oh, that's $10 a wheel. Suddenly the cost of my flight is as much as if I was flying first class, and it's Spirit, which is basically a Greyhound bus with wings.
And they charge you per nut on the peanut bag, too.
Yeah. The resort fee. Whew. What a jam up. Austin's next up at Erie, PA. He's listening on 1260. Austin, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Good morning. I'm going to trash Mraz. Can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir.
Mraz, how many days do you have off a year? It seems like every time DA's not in the building, you just cut sheep and you're gone too. What is this? I'd like to see you get on and maybe host one of these things, kind of like what Dixieland Dan was saying. But what do you get, like 6 weeks a year?
Trash them. So this is a storyline behind the scenes around here, because I personally do like Gresh quite a bit. I like John Kincaid when he fills in quite a bit as well. But I have gone to management and I have requested Mraz to guest host the show when I am out. And as it has been noted, this summer I've taken a bunch of Fridays off. And so Gresh has basically done Fridays throughout the summer and will continue to do many of them, although I'm in this Friday. But management has waived me off on Mraz hosting the show. Now, Mraz gets overnight shifts.
And weekend regular time shifts as well.
So some weekend afternoon shifts.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to CBS Sports Radio the day after Kawhi signed, I basically was on all day. So
that's true. You got like a six-hour shift there.
Correct. Well, I didn't get one. I did one and a half of them.
Okay. But for some reason, management does not feel as though you are ready to host this show, which is one of the great ironies.
I'm getting blocked. I can't host the own show that I would know the most of.
You are getting blocked from hosting a show that you help produce because it's so good. Because this show is so good, they don't trust you with it.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty amazing. And you're amazing. The producer.
Yeah, no, but I think what happens here, what our listeners don't know, is I produce another show after this afternoons locally at WFAN, and I think the fear is I come in here all egotistical hosting a national show. I am not going to give it my all producing the afternoon show, which, by the way, I am not off of when you're off, and I am doing just local duties over there.
Oh, so they think that if you host this show,
then I'd be like, well, I'm hosting, I'm bagging out of. And then they got to have to find another. Now they already have somebody filling in for me here and going to have somebody fill in for me locally, all to do the same job that John Kincaid or Andy Gresh is. I think in what essence, and I don't want to speak for management, I think I am being, and I don't want to use the word punished, I would say handcuffed by the fact that I have two producing roles here and I'm not having my wings out to fly.
So,
I mean, I could be doing target demo here. Where are you listening? How are you listening? Beanie listening in Lexington, Kentucky. What are you doing today, Beanie?
So now you regret taking the producing job at the other show.
I did not say that. Oh. No, I enjoy my time over there. I enjoy it. I enjoy it well.
Okay.
I am just, again, these callers are putting me in a corner here. I'm trying to explain the best it is why you do not hear me in that hosting role, which I'd love to have. And now I have management walking in, so you may never hear me again because I could be fired after this segment. Bad scene all around.
I will say I have requested management put Mraz in when I am out, and it has been a non-starter. I don't even get the second word out. No, no, DA, no.
And I'm sure management now thinks I've planted multiple callers today asking for me to host, which is not the case.
I have actually gotten, hey, can we sit down and talk about some stuff? And as soon as I say, so about Mraz hosting, they say, no, we're not talking about that. Do you have anything else?
So how's the weather today?
A victim of his own show's success. The show is too good for them to let him mess it up. By the way, I want to get to the story about Mariota and Winston. I'm just going to set this up here because I want to get to Matt Stinchcomb after the SEC media days yesterday. But Mike Vrabel basically is not committing to Mariota long-term. And this is Mariota's final season of his rookie deal. This is also Jameis Winston's final season of his rookie deal. Now, how amazing is it that quarterbacks that went number one and number two overall 5 years ago, still don't have a long-term commitment from their franchises. In a league where there is a desperate search for starting quarterbacks, these two teams drafted guys 1 and 2 overall and are like, we need to see it. We need to see a little bit more from you guys. We don't know yet. When teams are tripping over themselves to pay their own starting quarterbacks, it's pretty amazing. And this is a huge judgment year on both of those guys. And later on in the hour, I want to discuss which one of those guys you would bet on more. So I'll do that coming up in about 25 minutes from now. But this is a criticism and a critique of both of those guys, that they've gotten a year number 5, and neither franchise is comfortable yet paying them starting quarterback money. But when we come back, SEC Media Days with Matt Stinchcomb, college football analyst for ESPN. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
It was hot TV, my friend. It was hot. It was good.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And you can always watch us as well at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking anywhere on any device. Just go to watchda.com. SEC Media Days are here. It's talking season. And that means that football season's just around the corner. And our next guest is an SEC football legend, ESPN analyst. You watch him on the SEC network as well. SEC Film Room. He is at Media Days, and he is working alongside the All-State Good Works team with a number of student athletes that are doing wonderful things on the field and wonderful things in the classroom as well. Matt Stinchcomb joins us this morning on the program. Matt, good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing good down here. I don't know that we're ready to tee it up just yet, but everybody's getting a little frothy here in Hoover. Media Days, as you said, talking season. The hype machine is running in overdrive already.
Give me the rundown on the lobby lizards, the crazy fans that are in the lobbies in Hoover that are dressed to the nines as though it's the middle of October.
That's a great term. I don't know if I've ever heard that one. The lobby lizards. Well, I will say, because Coach Saban and Alabama are not scheduled to be here today, it's somewhat more sedate than usual. There's probably 30 or 40 people in a 12 to 14 square foot area. So they're in there stacked in like cordwood. But the guy with the that wears the national championship foam kind of cheesehead style hat.
Yeah.
He's not here yet. Okay. The Paul Bear Bryant lookalike, eerily so, like looks just like him.
Yes.
Someone said they saw him earlier, but we're not sure about that. So the ghost of Bear Bryant may or may not have been sighted, but he's here every year. But so far, the lobby lizards have been somewhat calm. There's been no property damage. I can report that.
Good, good. But it's still early in the week. So bigger,
good point.
Bigger picture question here. When Clemson knocked off Alabama a couple of years ago, it was crazy because Alabama lost a national championship game. What happened this past January was even crazier because Alabama was dismantled in a national championship game. Is there a sense around the SEC that perhaps Alabama's come back to the pack a little bit, or simply that Clemson is so dominant, they're the one team of the country that could do that to the Tide?
Yeah, I got to tell you, the way that Alabama lost in that game, I don't take from it as much as maybe others have. I do know that I've been in games, I've seen teams, I've been on teams where you don't want to just dismiss it and say it just wasn't your day, because Clemson is on the same level as Alabama, and on that night was several notches above. But to try to extract, I think, anything beyond that is tricky. You give up the pick six earlier, and then you give up another touchdown where the DB basically trips. It's on the ground at the early portion of the route, and you've got a really talented receiver that's able to take it into the end zone. There's 14 of your, I think, 26 points in the scoring margin. It's not to explain it away. Clemson's excellent. I mean, they've had two cracks at Alabama in the national title game, and they're batting 1,000. That doesn't happen very often. But to think that, you know, somehow Alabama is receding, I think it's the other way around. I think that, you know, Clemson is proving to be a foil to what the Crimson Tide has built itself into. And it's unsurprising because the model that has been built in Clemson, albeit the execution is different, maybe the personality of it is different, but the infrastructure is very similar. They recruit incredibly well. They've got an amazing staff, remarkable emphasis in the application of resources. What does that sound like? Sounds like Tuscaloosa, Alabama to me. So Clemson's not going anywhere, but neither are the Crimson Tide, and I do think that there's a chance that in the very near future, not only do you have a Georgia in conference that has proven to be a nice counterbalance within the SEC to what Alabama's doing, narrowly missing beating the Crimson Tide the last two seasons, having led by 14 twice in the national title game, led by 13 twice in the conference championship game, and still incapable of coming away with wins. But you also got a Texas A&M that it won't show up this year because of the schedule, but I think that program is the next center of gravity in the Southeastern Conference.
Mm. Matt Stinchcomb joins us, college football analyst from SEC Media Days. Of the 12 student-athletes that we're talking about on this list, one of those is Jake Fromm out of Georgia. He's one of the favorites also in the Heisman. Is Fromm the best player in the SEC this year?
I don't think so. I think he's a great player, but you're talking about a conference where, I mean, you could pick positions and argue that whoever it is that's considered the best of that position hails from one of the programs in the SEC. I mean, you can look at the defensive backfield of LSU alone and maybe run through the top two or three defensive backs in all of college football, and that's before you even get to Gainesville, Florida, with the C.J. Henderson type of a player. So to say that Jake Fromm is the best player in the conference, that's really, really high praise. That said, I think he's, even though he's a Heisman candidate or said to be anyway, to date has been one of the most overlooked players in the country. I don't know that he's quite appreciated as much as he should be because his box scores are not outlandish. You don't look at the statistics, and they probably won't be again this year because of the wide receiver position. That said, I don't know that you'll find a much better quarterback in all of college football, and he's actually getting some buzz now that after his third year of eligibility, he'll be an extremely high draft pick. It's early. Season hadn't even been played, and yet that level of attention is new for Jake Fromm, but you know, it's also the first time he's not had to hold off or win a job. We've got to keep in mind, two seasons ago, he had to beat out what was thought to be the number one quarterback recruit in the country, Jacob Eason, who already had a year of experience and was only ceded that job to Fromm due to injury, and then the next year had to hold off the number one overall recruit, Justin Fields. So he's used to a highly competitive landscape in the quarterback room. That's not going to be the case this year. He's the man, and he actually has to be the man. There is no cushion or fallback plan in Athens. It'll be interesting to see how Fromm handles that.
Do you feel like Fromm at this point is a better quarterback than Tua?
I don't know. I know that he's not nearly the mobile quarterback that Tua is. I also think, though, that offensively they deploy differently, and of course Tua far and away has a superior wide receiving core, the best wide receiving core in college football, and I don't think it's much of a contest. So it's kind of hard, I think, to compare them too extensively. That said, I do think that Jake Fromm, because he shares a conference with Tua and because Tua's ability to put up big numbers in only three quarters of play, it's different. And so he does oftentimes get overshadowed. But it's hard to say, I think, because it's kind of two different ecosystems that they live in, right? One's got probably the better offensive line, but not by much. The other, far and away, has the better wide receiving core and a different offensive philosophy, albeit both will be playing for different offensive coordinators this year.
Why did you earmark Texas A&M earlier in our conversation as the next cornerstone of the SEC?
Two reasons. One, Jimbo Fisher. He's got extensive familiarity and success in this conference at a variety of stops, Auburn, LSU, obviously now Texas A&M. He was able to win a national championship at FSU at a school where post-Bobby Bowden and in an era where resources and presidential and campus buy-in is paramount, maybe was not necessarily the case, is now at a school where they do have extensive resources. They are willing to apply them, clearly, based on his salary and the facilities that they've been able to put together at College Station. But you're also in a talent-rich state, and you're an extremely good recruiter in an age where you're looking at three-year windows to capitalize on some of these high school football players. There's no more of these five-year development plans. You got to get guys in that can play and contribute early on. He's capable of doing that and proved that he has changed that mentality in College Station meaningfully in year one, as evidenced by the 7-overtime victory over LSU in the regular season finale. I think they're next. I think they are the next prominent program to come out of the SEC, and that West is only getting more crowded.
Matt Stinchcomb joins us this morning on the show. Legendary offensive lineman at the University of Georgia. Now he's working alongside Allstate for the Good Works team. Should be fun this season, looking at the kids that are not only getting it done on the field, but also in the classroom, huh?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, some of the guys we just talked about, Jake Fromm's a nominee among the 12 nominees that have come out of the conference this year to be considered for the National Good Works team acknowledgement and recognition. Derek Brown, who's going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year, defensive tackle for the Auburn Tigers, a fantastic football player, Trey Smith, a guy that we all hope, I think, will see the field for Tennessee at offensive line. Would have been, and probably still could be, if he's healthy, one of the best offensive linemen in the country, if not the best offensive lineman in the conference, which is saying a lot, considering some of the other talents that are there. All those guys are nominated and likely will be named to the National Good Works team. And it's all about their community involvement, the character that they're demonstrating off the field, outside the classroom, and in their communities, how they give back and how they use their stature as college football players for the betterment of others around them. That's really what the All-State AFCA Good Works team is all about.
Definitely a worthy cause to spotlight, guys that are using their platform for good and volunteering in their communities. Matt Stinchcomb is one of the best ever to do it. He's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, two-time All-American as well on the first team at Georgia. Was a first-round pick of the NFL as well, played a number of years in the NFL, and now he's covering the SEC and college football for ESPN. Matt, it is awesome to catch up, buddy. Hopefully we can do this again at some point this season, man. And stay clear of the lobby lizards.
I'll do it. Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it. Matt Stinchcomb joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, we'll do that discussion of Mariota v. Winston in year number 5 of their careers and get to your epic fail.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Of what we're doing.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I love the cough montage. The unexpected moment of the week brought to you by ExxonMobil this week happened on Friday night when the Angels threw a combined no-hitter in their first home game since the sudden passing of pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Each player wore his number 45 with Skaggs' name written on the back. His mother, Debbie, threw out the first pitch. That was the first combined no-hitter in the state of California since the day Tyler Skaggs was born, July 13th, 1991, and the combined no-hitter happened the day before what would have been his birthday. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. It's a Trash Tuesday. Bobby tweets, I'm going to go ahead and trash the NBA for giving out these utterly ridiculous contracts to guys who have won nothing and done nothing. The Stanley Cup winning goal just got awarded a two-year, $4 million contract. Juju on that, Mraz. The Stanley Cup winning goalie, I believe, Bobby meant. Ultimately, these contracts for the NBA are actually underpayment because there's a salary cap, if you could believe that. I don't blame these athletes for getting paid this much. If the owners want to do it, clearly these owners know what will make them money and what their profit margin is going to be. So if you can believe this, it's hard to believe, but if you can believe this, in a capped league like the NBA, players are actually underpaid, because if there was no cap, think about how much guys would end up getting paid. Brady tweets, can I get a beam up? I'm trashing the Sixers for spending $170 million on a guy who has been a ghost to the three-point line ever since he wanted into the league. Hashtag, get him out.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Can you believe that a guy that just made $170 million at a guard position has never hit an NBA three-pointer, ever? Ben Simmons has never made a three-pointer. As I said to open up the show, I understand why the Sixers did it. This is their window. They've got Horford, Embiid, Tobias under contract for the next 4 years at big money. It's got to work. For them, it's got to work. So now you pay up on Ben Simmons and say, the four of you guys, you have 4 years under contract. We've got to win a championship in the next 4 years. But there is an enormous risk here. Enormous. Because all four of those guys have major question marks. Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, has made it clear there are no guarantees for Marcus Mariota to be on that team beyond this season. This is Mariota's fifth and final year on his rookie deal. And Vrabel says he's been proud of Marcus Mariota coming into the season, ready to go. He's come back stronger, bigger, better understanding of what we're doing offensively, communicating with players of the field. But Vrabel has stopped short of saying he's our guy for the long haul. And is it not amazing that, as I mentioned before, in a league where teams trip over themselves to pay money to their quarterbacks even before they've even won or won big, like look at Carson Wentz. Eagles couldn't wait to pay for him. Then Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, the top two picks in the draft 5 years ago, are still waiting to see if their teams want them. Now, to me, I'd prefer betting on Marcus Mariota, and I'd prefer betting on Mariota only because I know Mariota is going to be completely committed to the scheme, to the coaching staff, to his teammates, and to doing the right thing. And I said this when he came out of Oregon. I said, I'd rather draft Mariota number one over Jameis simply because all of the intangibles that go along with quarterbacking in the NFL, I trust from Mariota, and I don't trust them from Jameis. That hasn't changed. I think probably the ceiling of Jameis in the NFL is higher than Mariota. If all things are equal, health is equal, offense is equal, coaching is equal, skill position guys are equal, offensive line is equal, both guys are committed, both guys are healthy, both guys are coachable, both guys want it, then the guy with the higher potential is going to be Jameis Winston. But I just don't believe any of that with Jameis. I mean, we're into year number five, and can you really trust him with an organization? Can you really trust him to be at his best week in, week out? Can you really trust him to be developing and growing every single season, even every other game? You can't. Which is why the Buccaneers kind of have to buy back in with him this year, because they don't have a better option. They need to see if maybe he can reach some of his potential, but they can't give him the deal just yet. And for Mariota, he's been injury prone and at times totally underwhelming. It's a major critique on both of these guys that neither one of their organizations cannot extend themselves to say, yeah, right now we're going and we're going to sign this guy for the next 5 years. It's a real critique on both of them.
That's E1, that's a W.
It's a judgment on both of them. And I don't blame the Titans, and I don't blame the Buccaneers, because let's face it, the Buccaneers end up this year going 6-10, and Jameis throws 28 interceptions, and Jameis does another idiotic thing where you go, oh boy, he can't be our guy, then there's, you would never want to sign him to another five-year extension. And Mariota, you know, how far are we from the Titans being 3-4 going into week number 8 and Mariota dives for a first down and his shoulder gets separated and he's done for the season? I mean, that feels like it's totally on the table, in which case, why would you want to then give him a ton of money going into next season? So both of these guys, they've got so much on the line. And, you know, there's no guarantee you get that starting job opportunity again in the NFL once you lose it. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. It was a trash Tuesday today. Marco Belletti had a really difficult time in a waiting room, and it felt like my trash was ill-timed after that.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Marco Belletti, who are you trashing?
Basically the human race.
Oh.
All right, so here's the thing. If you're in a waiting room, you're in a public place. I'm sitting next to the slurper, is what I designated her. She had at least 4 cups of coffee and slurped every sip.
Probably the wettest.
Through 4 cups of coffee, learn how to drink.
Keep it moist.
What are you doing? I got the other lady next to me, FaceTiming. No headbuds, 45 minutes.
People listen to us around the world on their little apps.
But other than that, I mean, I know everything that was going on with her kid, with her aunt, with her cousin. Nobody cares, okay? Do me a favor. You're with 7 other people here. None of us are happy. We're all waiting. Put your phone away. Worst, the guy down the end.
Oh,
no joke. I really wish I was kidding. Burped every 45 seconds.
Oh.
Now, can you help us out? We can't go anywhere. We're locked in a cage. We're stuck there. I was debating leaving my car and walking the 15 miles home.
Well, in comparison, my trash feels very insignificant. I got a chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream cone the other day. Marco Belletti, who are you trashing?
Basically the human race.
So not the human race?
And the cookie dough just wasn't evenly distributed amongst the cone. Marco Belletti, who are you trashing?
Basically the human race.
I got one bite of the cookie dough at the top. I ate through the entire rest of the scoop of ice cream. It was all vanilla. And I was like, where's the rest of the cookie dough? And I got and I got to the bottom. Marco Belletti, who are you trashing?
Basically the human race.
But again, in comparison, this feels very insignificant compared to Marco Belletti spending 3 hours in a torture chamber.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I feel like Marco might have a tougher life than I do on a daily basis. On a Trash Tuesday, Joe tweets, I'm trashing your show for, quote, lifting the ban on Fat Frankie Valli. Was he ever banned in the first place? He's been in studio, the topic of conversation for months after the ban. Just drop the charade already.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
He's banned. He's not allowed on the show live. That's a ban. Mike tweets, so much garbage this morning, trashing Sixers. I'm literally trashing my coffee table that I cut my foot on last night before I went to work. And the Sixers just overpaid for a mediocre 90s center that plays point guard. Where's the money for an actual
shooter? You're so trashy.
Shooter. So Ben Simmons is now a mediocre 90s center. Rob tweets, hey, black coffee has proven to help burn brown fat cells in your body. So Phil Mickelson is kind of right with his cleanse blend. Reed Phillips tweets, I'm trashing MLB. I've got a subscription to MLB TV, and it wants to know my cable provider before I can watch on my phone. Problem is, my provider isn't one of the ones listed, so I can't watch the All-Star game. Let's see that blackout schedule. Whoops.
Hot trash.
MLB does it again. Thomas tweets, trashing the snooze button addict to let the alarm go off every 10 minutes that wakes up everyone except the one who it's intended on waking up.
Epic trash job.
That's a good one. The Bourbon Bell kills me on this. Snooze every 6 to 9 minutes for 2 hours. I go, when are we getting up here? I've been up for 2 hours since your alarm went off. Why are you still sleeping? George tweets, is it wrong that I thought Mraz's dad would be bigger? Hashtag not trying to be mean.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Now that's outrageous.
Yeah, no, Mraz does not come from a family of heavy people. He is an outlier in his family. It's pretty amazing.
My father's more unhealthy than me. He has a devil dog and a can of Coke for breakfast every day.
But for some reason, the weight doesn't stick to Bob.
It's a good point. I don't know why.
All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com and the simulcast, executive producer of the simulcast. And thanks to Marco Belletti, bing-a-da-bang-a-da-boom, on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you then, everyone. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.